Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys or girls, however you choose to identify, folks, we're back. It's Biscuits. There's a colon. There's a hockey podcast. And we come to you with a lot to talk about in 1 hour. There's the playoffs. Bill Peters got a job that I think he's been preparing for since February. Chuck Fletcher's fired. And we will get to the Sedins before the first break, their impact on hockey, them retiring, all that sort of stuff. But off the bat, we all got to say hi to Sean, because there's good news and bad news for Sean. The good news is Sean gets a Game 7. Sean loves Game 7. It's the only Game 7 of this wretched, terrible first round of the playoffs. But the bad news is that Sean, he has watched the Bruins, the team he picked to win the series, blow a 3-1 lead, and now they might lose the series. So I hope you're doing okay up there in the Ottawa Vice office.
Not only did I pick them to win the series, I picked them to win in six games. So they blew it. They blew it, but you know what? The Bruins and the Leafs are taking one for the team here, because somebody had to rescue this dud of a first round.
Yeah, we need something.
And so here we are. We get a Game 7.
How do you feel?
Just one.
How do you feel? Because I got to tell you.
I hate this. I don't enjoy a second of the hockey playoffs. It's awful.
Come on. When Plekanec put the puck in the empty net last night, there was a little bit of joy. You might have smiled, right? You might have looked over to your son and said, this is what it feels like to be happy about our hockey team, boy. Right?
Yeah. And he looked back at me and he was like, dude, I'm 7 years old. I shouldn't be still awake watching sports at 10 o'clock. And you know what? It's I'm obviously happy to see this going to a Game 7, given where it was 2 games ago, or given even where it was this time last week. And now, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows, man? At this point,
could go either way. The Bruins could not have played a better game in Game 6 and still lost. Lost comfortably, weirdly, in a way.
The Bruins have been the better team.
Oh yeah,
in this series, even beyond the first two games. I mean, obviously, the first two games were not close. But even since then, you know, like if you're a Bruins fan, you're watching this series, going, okay, if we keep playing like this, we should be okay. But the problem is now it's hockey, and you're down to one game, and you can be the best team and have home ice and have last line change and all of that. And it basically adds up to, you know, what, like 55% chance.
Right.
You get a slightly weighted coin. You flip it once and then.
But they were crushing them, though. It wasn't even 50. It was like at 70%, I think, at one point, the shot attempts. It's maybe like right before Marner made it 2-1. But think about all the times, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if you've ever done this playing hockey, or if anyone listening has done this playing hockey, but when you size up a goalie and you take a shot and you go for the five hole and you get it through his legs and it goes wide, there's no worse feeling in the world. Like, you've done your job. You aim the puck where you wanted it to go, and somehow it just takes a huge, like, left turn or right turn and doesn't go in. I want to know what teams' records are in games where they do that, where they shoot, they aim five hole, it goes through the legs, it goes wide, and do they win that game ever? Because I feel like that's too demoralizing to come back from. You're just like, what? You should get a half a goal for that or something. I don't know.
Maybe Frederick Anderson did that on purpose, because you're like, it was the Brad Marchand. I almost said the Brad Marchand goal last night. It should have been. Because he goes in, he shoots, and I mean, it's not, you know, like Brad Marchand's a good player, but it's not like he had this tiny little five hole to shoot at. He had half the net available to him and beats Frederik Andersen clean almost. And then the puck like clicks off his skate or something. But if that had, and then goes just wide, if that had gone in, we all would have been like, that's a terrible goal. Mm-hmm. That's a crusher. And yet it doesn't go in. And, you know, I've been having this conversation on Twitter this morning with people, which is like, how do you feel as a Leaf fan? How do you feel about Frederik Andersen? Because right now the storyline that's getting built up is he's back, he's stealing games, he's making 40 saves. And I'm still like, I mean, a save's a save. And at this point, you know, you don't care how they get made in terms of what happened in the last game. But when you're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next game, I'm still not getting that vibe. So, you tell me, I haven't watched it, because maybe this is just me being a negative Leaf fan looking for something to.
No, you got a point. Yeah, he does. He's got that thing going on where it's like going back to that there's the first game of the series they won where he stopped like 44 or 46 and looked terrible doing it, like
right.
Maybe that's just how he is, maybe that's just how he looks. Like he's just
I mean, a lot of times when he looks good, he's you know, he's like most goalies, like some, there are nights where you're like, they're not beating this guy, like not clean, they're gonna need a bounce or something. But I mean, this series, like every shot in his glove pops out. Every time the puck goes behind the net, he's like, he gets this look like a dog when you fake like you're going to throw the tennis ball and then you don't throw it. And he's just completely thrown off, which cost them a goal in game five. He's, you know, I don't know. I mean, again, you'll take it. Nobody's going to, if he can do it again and win game seven, nobody's going to be sitting there going, well, yeah, but he didn't, you know, here's how he looked on saves. But I'm just like, I'm seeing a lot of otherwise pretty smart people who seem to be like, ah, man, Leaf's got the hot goalie going into this. I'm kind of like, I don't know.
I just think if you're a goalie of a certain height, you always just look awkward moving around. Like Pekka Rinne looks like that even when he's on, you know, like pucks hit his glove and they kind of fall out. But like at the end of the night, he stopped like 38 of 39 and the Preds won 2-1. Maybe it's just like a tall European goaltending style to look like you're vulnerable, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and then, you know, you completely demoralize the other team by stopping 98% of shots in the game. Maybe that's the strategy. I don't know, man.
It could be. That could be what it is. Maybe that's what's going on.
You know what else too? You know what else? The Bruins, they must have missed the net on like five golden point blank chances last night. Yep. There was Marchand. I think the Marchand miss happened like right after Marchand he made the glove save. By the way, that glove save is a product of being a goaltender your whole life and knowing that the one spot that guy's going to shoot for is your glove at that point. He's not going stick side. He's not going five hole. You know where he's going. He just threw the glove up there and was like, go ahead, hit my glove, which was a great save. And then Marchand missed a net later. Then Wingles on the doorstep was just, I don't know if he was just not expecting it.
Hitting posts.
Pasternak missed the net a couple times. So, again, this is why hockey is kind of corny and bad sometimes, because anyone can win. But now in the playoffs, when it's game seven, yeah, the Bruins run the show again for 70% of the shot attempts. Maybe Tuukka lets in a bad one, and maybe Freddie has a couple of pucks hit him in the face or something. And hey, you win 2-1 in Boston, and everyone's. I really thought not having Kadri was going to be the difference, and maybe it still is. Maybe they lose in seven, and you can go back and look and say, oh, they might have won one of those games without Kadri, but. You got Kadri back now, and it's game seven. And
I will say this. I think the last period of last night's game was the best period the Leafs have played in the series, because that was one where, I mean, you look at how even the games that the Leafs have won, it's basically been the Leafs getting a lead and then the Bruins just coming at them in waves, and you were kind of ready for that again last night. And it didn't really happen in the third. I mean, the Bruins certainly had their chances.
They looked gassed. They looked exhausted. But the Bruins looked dominant yet tired at times. Like Bergeron, he's clearly playing hurt, but there were a lot of times when the Bruins were like pushing and Bergeron was like, yeah, my shift's over. Someone else come out, because he's probably, something's wrong. And that may be taking its toll over the course of the game.
That's been the biggest story in the series is that Bergeron line, because, I mean, first two games, they're the Harlem Globetrotters out there. At some point, presumably in game three, something happens to Bergeron. We don't know what. But they've basically, he misses game four, but the three games that they've been together, games three, five, and six, they haven't, that line doesn't have a point. And every guy on the line has been a minus in every game, which, you know, normally plus minus is not a good stat, but this is the Bergeron line. They don't get scored on 5-on-5. And yet they're all minuses each and every game. And again, that's misleading to an extent because they've had a ton of chances. Pasternak and Marchand especially have been all over the place. But, I mean, clearly something is wrong with Patrice Bergeron and you know, you shudder to think what it is, given that we know what this guy's played through in the past with punctured lungs and separated shoulders and all this other stuff. For him to have missed a game, I don't know. We'll find out at some point whether that's after a game seven loss or whether it's weeks down the line.
It's almost like the Blackhawks Cup final series where Bergeron gets hurt and suddenly the Bruins just aren't the same because he's such a big part of the situation. But let me ask you this, as I was thinking this last night, because you're pretty much always on the side of Toronto when it comes to reviews. You think they're right every time. You're a huge Colin Campbell fan. You're in the fan club.
When you say I'm on the side of Toronto, you mean the league,
the city, the league, the team, the whole thing. You just love.
I think the term you used was a stooge.
You are a stooge for hockey ops. You love what they do. So I'm wondering if that, you think that helped when Patrick Marleau destroyed David Backes when the net was empty and they were moving down for the empty net goal, because otherwise you're playing 6-on-4 against the Bruins for like 45 seconds to a minute. Do you feel like you may have won the game for the Leafs in game six?
Feel like it may have, like, you know, I mean, that was a minor impact on the play that led directly.
That was
to
the
a goal.
The best is like people were like, "Oh, David Backes is a big guy. He's probably just diving." Like, did you see what Marleau did to Chara like a game ago? Like, Patrick Marleau's a strong. He has old man strength. Like, he can knock anybody down at any time.
He is, and it was So he runs the pickup. But this is, you know, there's been a ton of this in the playoffs, and you know, I know we do this every year, but it feels like this year, especially
so with
people complain, you know, everybody complains about the refs because everybody always thinks their team are such wonderful good boys and the other team are so mean and should get all the penalties. But it feels like this year, the theme has kind of been referees not wanting to decide the game.
Oh, it's so
and
bad.
So not calling things. And then by not calling them, either it directly influencing the game or creating a situation where they could be changing the result. And last night was one of them. And look, Leaf fans were furious with the officiating for like the first 58 minutes of last night. And there certainly were some calls that went against them that were questionable. But then you get that call at the end of the game where, you know, clearly that's a penalty. But the official is looking at that going, if I call a penalty on the Leafs for interference at their own blue line, now it's 6-on-4, Bruins tie the game, win in overtime, they've won the series, my call just changed the entire course of a playoff series. But then the Leafs go down and score 10 seconds later, and you know, it's
not
similar
calling,
to the
too.
Same as the Chris Letang play in the in the Pittsburgh series, same as, you know, in the Leafs series or in the Leafs Boston series in game five. Was it game five? Yeah, game five, when the Leafs were up 4-1 and David Backes goes out and tries to start a scrum, tries to start a fight, which fine. That's, you know, that happens in hockey. And it ends with Jake Gardner getting punched right in the face by Zdeno Chara, who's, I'm told, a pretty big guy, kind of hard to miss.
I could take him.
And they even it up because it's 4-1 at that point, and you figure, okay, we don't want to, you know, put the Bruins shorthanded again, but then the Bruins score twice and now it's 4-3 and that ends up almost helping to decide a game.
That one though, that one I didn't mind though, because if two guys are engaged, you can't go over and grab the guy from behind. Like that's what you do in a bar fight. You don't do
that. I
don't
mind Jake Gardner getting a penalty, but two guys are engaged because the Bruin has started the altercation with somebody who was trying to get away from it. Jake Gardner goes in, give him a penalty, but then he gets punched in the mouth. That's that should probably also.
Oh, did Char not get anything for that?
Char didn't get anything.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's stupid then. Yeah. That's really bad. And then you had
the really weird one last night with it was Backus again, wasn't it? With the elbow.
Oh, that was gutless refereeing, man. That was so gutless because like I understand that, you know, Pollock, he's an idiot and goes over and messes up the whole situation, but that's an easy, you know, 2 minutes for elbowing, 2 minutes for roughing, and then matching minors for roughing, and then easy.
And I mean, Pollock, you're right. Like he probably could have just skated away and taken the power play guaranteed, but he didn't do all that much. Like right. It's not like he threw a punch. He went over and kind of did the like, all right, you hit our goalie, so I have to sort of make some sort of show out of wrestling with you a little bit. But he didn't. Yeah. You know, it's not like he went in and started throwing haymakers. But then they give both he and Backus roughing minors, and they don't call the original elbow.
But I think they did. I think they rationalized it as the elbow was roughing, and then Roman Pollock going over was also roughing, which is stupid because like the referee points to his elbow as he's making the call, but like that's.
But
not,
apparently they did
because
originally they had it listed in the game file, and you know I know the game sheet from the NHL isn't necessarily you know directly from the officials, but they did have it listed as originally they had it as Backus roughing on Anderson, but then they switched it and it was Backus and Pollock together. So I don't know. It was one of those, you know, this is the thing. Look, if you're a hockey fan, you want to complain about refereeing, go ahead. It's your God-given right, especially in the playoffs, to hate everything the refs do. Just don't bundle it up as some sort of they're out to get my team conspiracy, because this stuff always happens on both sides. There's, you know, if you're a Leafs fan, you had 58 minutes to be mad about the refereeing last night. And if you're a Bruins fan, you have every right to be furious that the Leafs scored the clinching goal on an obvious penalty. And I don't, you know, this, we like to say it evens up over the course of a series. No, it doesn't, not necessarily, but nobody's, you know, nobody's out to get your team. Nobody's trying to make sure that one team or the other goes through.
It's just bad refereeing. It's just,
and you sound ridiculous when you say that. So
I'm assuming you weren't watching because it was at the same time. But the beginning of the third period of Caps Blue Jackets game 6 last night, Caps go to the third period up 2 goals, and there's like 17 minutes to go. The puck's behind the Caps net, and Matt Calvert takes what is the most objectively obvious tripping penalty I've ever seen. He just puts it's a can opener plus like a little trip of the skate blade. It's got everything going on, and I think it was Christian Jews goes down. Puck comes free. Calvert, I think, is the one who gets it, centers it, score, and it's a 1-goal game. And you're just like, you know for a fact if that was a 2-2 game or if it was a different score, if it wasn't a 2-goal margin, the referee's instantly putting his arm up. But because it was a 2-goal game and they don't want to make it a 3-goal game with another Caps power play, they don't call it, and then suddenly it's a 1-goal game. It didn't matter because, as you know, this year's Washington Capitals are different, Sean. This is going to be the year where they finally do it. They finally get over the hump. They were down 2-0. They were in overtime in game 3. 1-4 straight. The Penguins are weak. They're falling apart. They're soft. They're injured. Getting Malkin's hurt. This is the year.
Never in doubt.
This is the year. Never for a moment did I... Well, maybe I can think when they were down 2-0, I might have doubted it. But it's still...
I'm trying to think. I think the last show they were down...
2-0.
2-0. Mm-hmm. But even then, you know, we were still going, it's not over. Because I'm not like, I'm not driving the bandwagon like you are, but I'm kind of...
Hop on, buddy.
Sitting quietly in the back, just, you know. And like I said, when I tweeted this out, and this is going to, I swear this is going to go down in the history books as my
tweet. Yeah.
Because before overtime of game 3, I said, if the Capitals score here, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. If they get scored on, they're going to get swept, and they'll probably implode the entire roster.
You did it.
No pressure. And they score and they go on, win 4 straight, win the series. Here we go.
When they win the Stanley Cup, do you think they invite us to the parade? Do you think we get our own float for being such?
I mean, I think we get rings.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the parade's more for the players. I think the rings are more quietly for us behind the scenes. Yeah. Do they want us on the, like, because I'm sure fans want to meet us at this point, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think, yeah, I could see that. I could see, like, Ovechkin calling you out.
I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped for the series again. I'm such an idiot.
So what is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level the Capitals are going to
So 2 years ago, I would say my confidence level, I don't know. Well, 2 years ago, I wasn't really thinking about it. 2 years ago, it was probably at like a 6.5, a 7, somewhere in there. Last year, it was at like a 9, 9.5. Like they got Shattenkirk, you know, they were so much deeper. They didn't have to play Brooks Orpik as much, all that sort of stuff. And then the Caps, you know, they crapped their pants. They came back and then they, you know, did what they usually do and they rolled over. But this year they haven't shown rolling over signs. Even in game six when they made it a one goal game, they said, you know what, we're going to score the next two because we have Chandler Stephenson. Whoever that guy is, great for Chandler Stephenson. Nice little shorthanded semi-Kucherov move on the breakaway, I thought was pretty nice. And now this year, I'm going to put it at, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident am I in the Caps getting to the third round? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say 10.3.
Wow.
That's how confident I am. I can. Braden Holtby's rested. He's sharp. He's coming in hot.
He's rested all right. Yeah.
I mean, I understand that he was rested because he was so bad the last 2 months, but you know what? You take a negative and turn it into a positive. That's what the Caps do now.
This is why you're driving and I'm like a 5.2 out of 10.
Oh,
but
man.
For the Capitals, that's enormous confidence. I mean, that's, I don't know. We can't have, the Leafs can't win a game seven in Boston and the Capitals beat the Penguins in the second round.
Oh,
like, I feel like both.
This is the year, man. Vegas is undefeated in its playoff history. San Jose is going to get to the two best teams in hockey once again are playing in the second round of the playoffs in the West. Weirdness. This is what the hockey playoffs are all about. And what's weirder than the Caps beating the Penguins in the second round of the playoffs?
So how does it go down? Do the Caps fans get like a nice, clean, relatively worry-free win, or does this have to go like super dramatic in the other direction?
That's a good question, because they can't go down 2-0 again. They're not going to do the comeback from 2-0 thing twice in a row, especially not against the Penguins. I say how it goes down is Caps win the first two games of the series, lose the next two games, and then they win 5 and 6. They close it out in Pittsburgh. That's how it's going to go down.
All right.
Whatever.
I'll take that.
Whatever.
I'll take that. That's,
no one's going to remember this. I can say whatever I want. It's fine.
I'm
picking the Penguins, aren't you?
As I'm trying to make these predictions, I'm getting that sinking feeling, because I remember before the start of the Toronto-Boston series, somebody asked me, like, what's the worst thing that could happen to the Leafs? And I think I said, go down 3-1 in the series, come back to force a game seven, and then blow a 5-1 lead in game seven. And I was trying to be a smartass, and now I'm...
Here you are.
I'm sort of having that sinking feeling. And
so what do you think they win game seven? I don't think we ever got an official prediction.
I picked Boston to win the series. I think they've been the better team. So if my objective choice will be to say that Boston wins, but like I said, it's a coin flip. It's going to come down to, you know, whether Frederik Andersen can keep having the puck bounce off him in the right way, whether the Bergeron line keeps hitting the post and missing the net every time they're out there. Be nice for the Bruins to get a little bit more secondary scoring. I mean, Rick Nash is,
oh man,
I don't want to go down this road again, but
every year we do this. See, the way I look at it is, no matter how it ends, if the Leafs win, that means I ended up getting my prediction right, even though I kind of bailed on it once the suspension happened. And we can do the Rick Nash thing again, where, yeah, he had 1.7 games, but I mean, he was so good at both ends of the ice.
Yeah, but you know, I've done that. Like, I've been
so
one
have
of
I.
Guys,
so have I.
But I don't feel like this year that's really the case. Like,
he made a great play to break up a chance in front last night.
He's had some chances, but I'm not watching this series like worried about Rick Nash.
He's. You know how whenever somebody wants to make fun of Corsi, they're like, oh, yeah, great Corsi. Now that everyone knows about Corsi, guys are going to go out there and just shoot pucks from like way out just to make their Corsi look good. And you're like, that's so stupid. And then you watch Rick Nash for like 82 games and you're like, is that what he's doing? Because he takes a lot of shots from like the far boards that have no chance of ever going in. And he shoots them short side from the left wing so the puck can't even kick back out in front. And I'm like, why do you keep doing that? I don't understand that. But if the Bruins lose, you have that. If the Leafs lose, then we can start, you know, poking at Mike Babcock's record without Nick Lidstrom, and then that could be a fun thing. So either way, I'm going to be happy no matter what happens. But I would like to see your Leafs win. I want you to come into this podcast next Tuesday. Well, by then they'll be down 2-0 in the second round.
Exactly.
There's not a good time for this.
they'll have lost down there in Tampa, and I'll be mad about some other goaltending review. You were happy with the review last night, I take it.
I mean,
you want every goal taken off the board.
You can't kick a goalie's blocker and goal stick away from his legs and then shoot the puck through his legs. Like, you just can't. Like, that one, I swear to God, if they overturned that, I would have come in today. I would have just been like, you know what? That's it. I need a new career. I can't do this anymore because this is insane.
The only way they wouldn't have overturned that is if they felt like the Leafs, I can't remember who it was, but the Leafs player was pushed into the crease. Because you're right. It clearly, was in the crease.
There was no way to get around that one, but they scored again. That was, you know what?
Yes, and you agree. There was no way for him to get around the goaltender because he was pushed into the crease by the Bruins. Thank you.
Yes.
For agreeing.
Something happened too in the Caps game last night. There was a review. Wasn't there? There was some sort of, what the heck was it? There was something, I forget what it was, but it was in both games. I think there was a situation where they took a goal away and then right away the other team scored. So it was, or the team that should have scored again right away. So it didn't really end up mattering, but I know
we've been lucky so far. We've made it almost through the first round without like a really bad review debacle. It's coming in game 7, isn't it?
Well, you know what? Either way, it's going to make for good content. What do you like in the Penguin series? At 5.1, it sounds like you're picking the Caps to win game 7.
I'm picking the Caps in 7.
Attaboy.
But I'm looking forward to that. And I mean, we'll get in the West. We'll get in the West probably after the break. But can I just say this?
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about it. Everyone's talked about it. And I'm not even saying anyone's wrong. I get the objections to the playoff format.
Oh, it's bad.
I get that people are frustrated. They would like 1-8 or, you know, however you want to do it. But can we just acknowledge that the second round is shaping up to be ridiculously good?
It shouldn't be, though. I saw someone say on Twitter, they were like, you know what? Usually the second round's anticlimactic, but it's great this year. But like, you know what? The second round isn't supposed to be climactic. It's supposed to be the second round of four. The fourth round and the third round are supposed to be the climactic round.
But then, I mean, people are upset because the two best teams, you know, they say, wow, the two best teams are playing in the second round. First of all, no. Two of the 5 or 6 teams that might be the best team are playing. Like, the fact that the Jets had 114 points and the Lightning had 113 doesn't tell us anything. But even then, you know, people, even if you think those are the two best teams, you know, people are like, hey, the two best teams shouldn't be playing in the second round. And you're like, all right, well, what should we do? And it's like, well, they should be playing in the third. Well, no, they should be playing in the Stanley Cup. If you think they're the two best teams,
well,
but your proposed system doesn't have them playing in the Stanley Cup final, then is that really,
yeah,
you know, have we really gotten any better then?
But the conference final is fine for that. And the thing, like look at it like this.
I think a division final is fine when you've got this much parity, this little to choose from at the top. If the trade-off is that we get the matchups that we all want to see, but we get them a little bit earlier, I mean, I'll take it. I'll take Pittsburgh, Washington in the second round and Tampa against either Toronto or Boston, which would both be great series, versus having those cross over just so that we can, in theory, get something better in the conference final. If you're not going to go a full 116 or reseed in the final four, which has always been my suggestion.
In the East, I think there's a little more parity, but in the West, if Winnipeg was playing either Vegas or San Jose, they'd win. If Nashville was playing either San Jose or Vegas, they'd win, and they would meet.
Well,
that's a guaranteed
the conference
matchup.
Final. So now they're meeting in the division final, and by your logic, whoever wins this is going to win.
Oh, for sure.
Against Vegas or San Jose in the conference final. So it's the same result. It's the same. You
same,
know, whoever
same
wins
thing
this
last year too. Pens Caps was a cup final in the second round last year, I thought, but you know, I don't know.
The one downside, especially with out west, is like, do Nashville and Winnipeg just beat each other's brains out for 7 straight games? While Vegas and San Jose turns out to be a short series, and you know, whoever wins in the Central just kind of has to crawl into the conference final and
I stopped believing in that in the year the Kings beat the Rangers, because the Kings won three straight seven-game series, and they just they didn't demolish the Rangers, but they won in five. They were fine. Their legs weren't. They played – I forget who it was. It was – they went through Anaheim, San Jose, and somebody else. But they were like three just, you know, physical wars. Then they played the Rangers, and they were like, yeah, this is our easy – they even said this was the easiest series we played the whole time, which I thought was kind of like a – prickish kind of move, but think of it like this too. Imagine if you're Nashville, right? You know, you play 82 games and you're the best team. You've won the President's Trophy. You've gone through the regular season and got the thing you want for the playoffs, to be the number one seed. And then in the second round, you have to play the number two seed. Like, it's stupid from that regard. It's stupid if you're either the Preds or the Jets, because in a way, if you agree that they would beat the teams out of the Pacific, you're throwing away millions of dollars in revenue because you're not going to play in the third round like you should. And that's going to be the thing that changes it. It's not going to be us complaining about the quality of matchups.
It's been this way one way or another for forever. The NHL has never had...
No, they used to reseed all the time, and then you could really avoid it.
Used to reseed, but first of all, you reseed, but you had the division champs would get home ice. So you had situations like the Leafs playing the Hurricanes, where the Leafs were 10 points better and the Hurricanes had home ice.
Yeah.
That, you know, that wasn't great, but we lived with it. We used to have, like, you know, the division set up, and I know it was different when there's 21 teams, but we used to get Edmonton and Calgary in the second round every year. And we knew that was probably the Stanley Cup championship. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we got Edmonton and Calgary every year, and it was freaking great, and you know, people loved it. So you know, even when there were only six teams and there were just four teams made the playoffs, and you're like, that you can't possibly screw that up. One versus four, two versus three, that's easy, right? No, they did one versus three and two versus four for like decades.
It's the dumbest league.
So you know, it's like I'm with people who say there's probably a better way to do it. I'm fine if you want to go one through eight. Like I say, I would love to reseed the final four so that you could get some of these rivalry matchups in the final. But I, you know, I'm with everyone, but at the same time, I can't get overly worked up about a system that's not really any worse than what we've had in the past, and that delivers, when it works, delivers some really fantastic matchups, even if they're a little earlier than we might want to see them.
All right. Well, I know we promised the Sedins before the break, but we're over the first half hour mark, so we got to take a break. So we'll just get to the Sedins in the second half, along with Bill Peters and the matching suits in Calgary. We'll get to Chuck Fletcher. We'll get to some questions. I believe we've timed this out pretty well, and there's the other two series too. We'll get it all in. But yeah, I know we owe you some Sedins talk, but we'll get to that in the second half, and we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know if it's because these series ended so long ago, or if it's just because it's the Western Conference and it's the Pacific Division, and I'm an Eastern biased media guy and I don't stay up late, but I'm sort of not super into the whole Vegas San Jose series. I don't know why. Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be some skating. It's going to be some scoring. It's going to be some pucks.
It's been too long. It's been
right. It's
like such
it's
a
like,
gap.
And it's like when Game of Thrones. It's like when Game of Thrones like goes off for a season, then comes back 2 years later. I'm like, I kind of remember all these guys. Like Evander Kane. What team is he on again? Is he on Vegas? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, let's watch it. That's how it feels to me.
Yep. No, it is a little tough to get excited for, but it should be a good series. It's gonna, you know, the other problem is it's of the three series that we know, like two of them are amazing, and then this one is like, yeah, that should be good.
It is number four of the four, right? Because like whatever Tampa gets, whether it's Boston or Toronto, it's going to be a pretty good series. Pittsburgh, Washington is what it is. And then you have one versus two in the other series. And then it's just like, hey, it's that that plucky expansion team that's that keeps beating everybody. And then it's like, oh, right, San Jose, that team that always doesn't win the cup every year.
Always has 100 points, always wins like a round, always sucks you in, and then you're not sure. Have we heard about Joe Thornton? Like, is he back?
You know what's weird? Like, he skated in pregame warmups before game one of that series, and then, like, that was it. Like, he went fishing or something. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea what's up with him or Malkin even at this point, if he's going to be ready for game one.
There's a pencil, right?
What was that?
No, we don't. We don't know on Malkin either, but, yeah, I mean, Thornton, you would have thought, like, it's been, like, 5 weeks since that series ended. You would have thought that they would have heard something, but I don't know. He'll make the big. I am excited for whatever Vegas is going to do for their opening game ceremony for round two.
Here we go.
I'm excited to see a knight fight a shark at center ice. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. So a left shark costume, right? Versus the.
Yeah. I liked that we already, even before we had this matchup, we had the, like, the sharks are getting snippy on Twitter because the knights were skating out through a knight helmet. And they're like, no, we skate through the. The face of the thing that we are. That's our deal. So, oh
God, rivalries. You know what's going to be terrible is if San Jose wins and Winnipeg wins and we got to relive the whole Wi-Fi thing again.
Yep.
Any
you know what? You know what's going to be really terrible is that it's not like we're not even going to get to relive it in the sense of like firing up the rivalry. It's just going to be like the San Jose guys going like, no, we were just joking. We didn't mean it. And then Winnipeg, like Winnipeg people are too nice. And they'll be like, yeah, we know we're not going to get too worked up, and it'll like, all be
Evander Kane like rolls back into Winnipeg, and everyone's like, you know, Evander, and he's like, yeah, look, I know there's a lot of feelings coming back here, and you know, I love my time here, but I'm with no. Tell us about the Wi-Fi in San Jose versus Winnipeg, because you've now lived in both places.
Yeah, oh. Which is it?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. I guess I don't know.
What's your pick on the series?
You know what? I'm going to pick Vegas. I don't know why. I don't really have any strong feelings about either team. You know, it's just Vegas, I guess. I don't know. They should Vegas probably should not have won in four games against LA. That series was so close and just so terrible, but now they're going from playing a team that never wanted to skate and had one line, and now San Jose has a little bit of depth. They can skate, but yeah. I don't know, man. I just think Vegas has a horseshoe up its butt this year, and they're just going to
win. But I mean,
win.
They did. They played well against the Kings.
Oh, like, yeah,
I mean,
for
that,
sure.
That was more like Jonathan Quick was just like standing on. Like, I've never seen a goalie steal a series where his team still got swept, but I feel like Jonathan Quick managed to do that. So I don't know. I'm taking San Jose partly just because I need to pick an underdog, even though they're not.
Oh, we're really doing this again.
An underdog, yeah. But well, it's weird. Like we've made it through the first round, even though we've still got one game seven. We made it through the first round with no upsets, really, because I don't think San Jose beating Anaheim was an upset, and Toronto beating Boston, if it happens, wouldn't really be an upset. So, and you look at the eight teams that are going to be left, and it's like, is there any combination of where you'd look at it and go, yeah, that would be like. San Jose, maybe the Pacific winner, especially if it's San Jose beating the Central winner,
yeah,
would feel like an upset. But I feel like that's it. Like, other than that, we're going to get to the all the way to the final, and every result is going to be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
I just can't wait for the Caps to beat the Penguins in five and then get swept by Tampa. That's going to be the best. That's going to be so fantastic. Just watching Caps fans try to like rationalize that in their mind. Well, we took a step this year and then we got crushed. So. Should you blow it up? No. Let's just keep throwing these guys out.
You know what I'm looking forward to? And I don't want to think too far ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to a Washington-Tampa series that is just seven games of Nikita Kucherov doing that one breakaway move to Braden Holtby over and over again until Holtby just snap, just like absolute psychological warfare on him.
Game just, five, and he just like, drops his gloves and leaves.
Like, not this time.
He just starts laying down in the crease so you can't go through him.
And he's like, oh no, he looks like he's doing it. Oh god damn, got me again. I just want to see that for seven games.
You like Nashville? I can't even though Nashville didn't look great against Colorado, they still almost won that series in five pretty comfortably anyway. Not comfortably because they were down a lot, and they were down 1-0 to a team that they could come back on easily. But I just think, you know what, like Winnipeg, I don't know, like my stupid old brain still looks at things and says, well, Winnipeg hasn't won a playoff series in its existence. You don't just go from not doing that to suddenly beating the team everyone thinks is going to win the Stanley Cup in the second round. So this is like their, you know, that learning experience series for Scheifele and for Laine and all those guys.
The Winnipeg Jets in their NHL history, both versions, have never won a game in the second round.
Is that true? Wow, I didn't know that.
Because they made it twice as the old Jets, and they got swept by the Oilers both times.
Wow. Wow, I'm doing my own Wilson voice. Wow, wow. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Man. But I am picking the Winnipeg Jets. I picked them in seven.
Wow. That's my Dave Wow voice. Wow.
Double wowed.
It's like a sigh. Wow. Why? But I hope, like, why? Tell me why.
I feel like I'm almost too excited for this series. Like, I feel like I'm building it up a little bit too much in my own mind, and it's going to end up being like five games. And
it could be. But it's been a weird postseason, man. I can see the Preds winning that series quickly. I can see the Jets. Actually, I can't see the Jets doing it. I'm still not. Again, I think we talked about this in the weeks and months leading up to. I'm still not sold on the Bruins and Jets, and I feel like the Bruins. I feel like if the Bruins even win in seven now, I'm like, yeah, see, like this is, they're not going to run over teams in the playoffs, and the Jets are kind of the same thing. So I don't know. I just think this is the Preds' year, and it just sucks that the Jets have to play them now instead of in the conference finals, even though you think it's fine.
Okay. So we split on the West. We're both on the Caps, and we will have to defer on the Atlantic because
Don't know the matchup. Tampa,
you've got Tampa against
either
whoever.
Way. Either way, Tampa's
all right. You know what? I'm going to pick whoever wins Toronto Boston to beat Tampa.
Really? Going there right into that series with no rest. Tampa's been hanging
out. No rest.
Out.
All the momentum.
Uncle Mo. You love Uncle Mo. How do we do in the first round? I feel like I'm like probably like 4-4 if Toronto wins.
The only one that I've missed in the first round was I had the Kings over the Knights.
Yeah, I had that too.
I got all the other ones and I had Boston, so I'll be either 6 of 8 or 7 of 8 because I had Washington, Pittsburgh, and I had Winnipeg. I mean, those were just picking the top seeds, but
still, those are wins. You never know.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I had Tampa. I'll
I'm like Freddie Anderson. I don't care.
Nope.
How many
puck just hits you?
What are the numbers say? Did it go in? No. All right, that's a save.
I think maybe I could be 6-2. Maybe I had Philly and LA. I took Anaheim on this podcast, but I didn't believe that. I just wanted to mix it up. San Jose was always my pick. San Jose's on my bracket. My bracket's what counts. I had San Jose. I had Nashville. I had Winnipeg. I had Tampa.
You had Philly?
I had Toronto. I had Philly. That one's I committed hard to Philly. Dude, Philly lost that series in six. If they would have just gotten like 894 goaltending, they would have won that series in six. Like, Dave Hakstol could not have managed his goaltenders worse in that series. And I'm convinced, I get it. Peter Mrazek wasn't great down the stretch, and he's Peter Mrazek. But, I mean, he got you there. Brian Elliott had him played in 2 months. He played two games in 2 months after core muscle surgery, which I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds terrible. Core muscle surgery, like your abdomen.
It feels like a muscle you would need.
Yeah,
if you're a goalkeeper.
As a goalie, that's like your center. And then Michael Neuvirth, I mean, geez, I mean, I would have gone to Neuvirth too, but I mean, at some point, did they just not want to give the Red Wings a higher pick by playing Mrazek a bunch of games? Was that why they held him out? Because I don't know. I just... Hey, Dave Hakstol stinks. Playing Radko Gudas so friggin' much. I don't know. But I don't want to. I'm not bitter about getting that series wrong or anything. I'm just, objectively speaking.
Not at all. But no. It was, it was good. Could say it wasn't the 2012 version, but it wasn't bad as sequels go. Sean Couturier is now like the big, say he had the big breakout. He's now the superstar of the playoffs, even though his leg doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, he'll never be the same after this, but at least he had a hat trick in a game the Flyers lost in a series they probably weren't going to win since they're goaltenders. Like, how do you leave it Neuvirth for all those goals? I guess I'm going to write about this.
Playoffs have been weird.
I mean,
like,
pull your goalie. I don't want to get into this now because we have other stuff, but just if we all know in hockey it's a race to three. Why are you waiting until your goalie gives up three goals all the time to pull him? The game is over pretty much at that point. Like I looked it up
even at that game in the doubles series where like Corey Schneider started one of the games and he didn't look very good and he gave up a couple goals and then he gave up like a third goal but then it was called back.
Oh, the Conacher goal, that was like an offside goal. Yeah. That was the second
and it was
goal.
Like, yeah. It was like when he gave up the goal, like they were showing like the backup on the bench and they were already kind of, and then the goal got waved off and everyone was like, oh, okay.
It never happened.
Like, yeah, but he still gave up the goal. Like you still,
right.
You still saw that, right? Like that gives you information about, but I don't, yeah, the goaltending decisions were weird this whole
like
playoffs.
Like I think going into last night, 31 out of the 40 games, if you got the three, you won. And so now it's 32 out of 42. So like 75% of the time, once you score three goals, it's over. So if your goalie, like with the Corey Schneider one, like they just pulled Keith Kincaid, so they weren't going to go back to him at that point. I get that. But like if you're the Flyers and all your goalies are the same, treat them like pitchers in postseason baseball, where if he doesn't have it, you just go right to your bullpen. And it's hockey. You can switch goalies all game. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. So Bill Peters.
Speaking of
goaltending,
odd coaching decisions by teams.
By the way, how long do you think he was eyeballing that job? Because he I feel like he has intimate knowledge of the Flames that like even like the Flames don't have. He's ready. Yeah. He's been eyeing that thing for months.
I still don't understand this entire story. Like I didn't understand when, like clearly now, I think we talked about it at the time where it was like reported that Bill Peters had this out clause in his contract. And it was kind of reported in a way like as if that was important. And I mean, I was like, well, yeah, maybe he does, but he hasn't made the playoffs in 4 years. He's not going to exercise an out clause.
Uh-huh.
But now I wonder if there was a little bit of like, hey, wink nudge, this is where this might be headed. And that's why we need to get this out there. Because
mm-hmm.
clearly he was the Flames guy. The Flames said they didn't talk to anyone else. I guess you just see 4 years without a playoff spot and you think, got to jump on that.
He fits right into our culture.
We got to grab that.
It was so quick too. Like, it's not like he went around and like talked to Dallas and talked to the Rangers.
No,
it was just,
yeah, he didn't talk to anyone else either.
No.
He opted out. And I loved his statement where he's like, oh, the Hurricanes deserve to hire a new coach. Like, oh yeah, you're,
thanks.
How nice of you.
Thanks,
buddy. Thinking of them.
The sport is so stupid. Like, you know what it's like? It's like in baseball where I think it was Ian Kennedy on the Royals. He signed like a 5-year, $60 million deal. And his first year of the contract, he was really good. And then after his second year, he had an out clause where he could become a free agent again. And he was terrible. And like during the season, they were like, hey, Ian, you're going to opt out of your contract? And he's like, what are you, insane? My ERA is like 7. Who's going to sign me for this money that I have left? I'm not going anywhere. But not in hockey. Yeah. Bill Peters is like, hey, who wants this? And everyone's like, ooh, me. Oh man, I just don't get it. I just don't get this.
I know he's a local guy in Calgary and he's, you know, he's a good coach. Did he win a Memorial Cup? Like he went to one. He was a good coach in junior. So, and you know, I mean, every coach looks bad when the goaltending's terrible and it obviously was in Carolina, but yeah, I don't know. I was a little surprised, but yeah, now we get to find out who Carolina's going to try to hire for $8 an hour to come be their coach. I guess everyone's saying it's going to be Rod Brind'Amour.
That seems to be the thing.
Once again, crazy coincidence. The best person for the job is going to be somebody who, now Brind'Amour had been the assistant there for years. So, I mean, it's not that it's maybe not as bad as some of the other examples, but yeah,
still
weird.
Still, it is kind of weird how it works out like that. Was Kevin Dineen a Panther? Did Kevin Dineen ever play for the Panthers? I forget. I know he was.
I feel like Kevin Dineen was very. If he didn't, he should have.
Right. He feels like he should have been a Panther.
Like the prototypical Florida Panther, whether he actually played there or not. But yeah. And then the other opening is Minnesota.
Yeah. Like if you had told me going into the offseason that the first coach hired would be Bill Peters and the first GM fired would be Chuck Fletcher. I don't know what that exactly would have paid off at if you had bet like $10 on it, but I assume you could retire and like buy an island, because it's not that like those guys, like Chuck Fletcher, you know, I get the argument where it's like, look how many playoff trips in a row he's made. And I think like Minnesota, I think was 8th in the standings this year, and they go into the playoffs and they don't have Ryan Suter and they lose Zach Parise and they probably weren't going to win that series anyway. But I think that firing makes sense because they're at a point. Yeah. There are so many teams at points now where you kind of have to blow it up, and I think you want to have someone new come in and do it.
And the thing is, it's not the decision shouldn't be about, is this fair to the GM? It's, you're not actually evaluating the GM himself and saying, like, is this, should he stay or should he go? It's a bigger picture. Like, what direction is this team headed in? Do we have the right guy to put us where we need to be, or are we just following down the same path? And, you know, yeah, I mean, Minnesota, lots of teams would trade recent track records with the Minnesota Wild, but have the Wild given you any indication that they're going to be more than a team that gets right around 100 points and goes out in the first round next year or the year beyond or the year after that? And if not, do you just keep coming back and doing the same thing you've been doing for 9 years, or do you take the chance of going in a different direction?
It's just so funny though. Like, what the Oilers look at Picciarelli and they're like, you know what? we love the job you're doing here.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's like, you know what?
Somebody pointed out Minnesota and Carolina have both fired the GM. Neither one technically fired a GM, but right. Both of them have decided to change GMs. But as of right now, the bottom 10 teams from the standings last year are all bringing back their same GM. Nobody from the bottom 10 has been fired.
Is that true for the coaches too? Oh, I guess. Oh, no. The Rangers probably sank.
The Rangers were in the bottom 10.
Yeah, Carolina probably wasn't that far. But yeah, it's just...
And Carolina was 11th, so Carolina would have was nearly in there, but...
What a league.
Yeah, even you know, Buffalo's bringing everyone back. Ottawa so far is. I mean, Guy Boucher certainly doesn't sound like he's... He sounds like he's on shaky ground. Arizona, Montreal, Detroit, Vancouver, Chicago, Edmonton, Islanders, all bringing everyone back, and the Rangers changed coaches.
Like, at least 7 of those teams need to do something, and they're just like, eh. I also don't get, like, in football, like, what happens in football? The week 17 ends, Monday morning, there's, like, blood everywhere. There's just, you know, yeah. Coaches' heads are rolling in the street. In hockey, it's like, well... Let's wait until the second round of the playoffs start. Like, what are you evaluating?
For a lot of these, yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, Ottawa is like, oh, you know, we're gonna evaluate. You were out of playoffs in January. What evaluation are you going to do?
It's bizarre.
In the weeks after the season that you haven't been doing for the last, like, 3 months.
The Blackhawks don't want to evaluate the Saad Panarin trade. It's too soon. It's been a year. Oh, let's hold off. Let's not sink our teeth into that too soon. Really? Because it looks like you lost that trade. No, well, you know, we need to evaluate.
GMs love.
Oh, yeah.
Love just every, that's every GM. Just give me another year to just, I'm just working through. Every GM is like some, like, 21-year-old back living with his parents. He's like, I just give me 1 year. I'm going to get it all sorted out. Just got to figure a few things out.
I just need an extension. Can I just, you know, I know the paper was due a year ago, but can I just get some more time to just, you know, a little more research I want to put into it to make sure it's where I need it to be. You graduated from here like 4 years ago. Why are you still talking to me about this paper? I don't want to hear about it. Man. And again, this is my favorite thing too, is now that there's these GM openings, we're going to hear about, you know, the AGM from, you know, the Predators or
Paul
the
Fenton.
Jets. Yeah.
It's Paul Fenton has been the runner-up for every GM job,
but like, I just hate how we don't know if that guy is going to be good, but we just assume a guy who, you know, like Botterill, like a guy who comes from a good organization, yep, is always going to be good. But like, you don't know. You know, maybe Jason Botterill's in there going, "We got to trade Sid," and they're like, "Jason, shut the hell up. We're tired of you with your trade Sid thing. We're not doing that." You don't know because he's not. His name isn't on the decisions.
No, that's true. You don't know, and right. It's. But yeah, it's the same guy. I mean, I'm convinced, especially when it comes to coaching, like, half of it is just having people in the media who can put your name out there.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember who it was. There was somebody the other day where I saw, like, somebody just tweeted out and it was like, yeah, you know, a few names, you know, they haven't made any decisions on the coaching, but keep an eye out. And then they just mentioned some name where you're like, what? Guy has, I haven't heard that name in 4 years. Like, they're not looking at him.
Was it Dreger?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was.
That was my guess.
But. Yeah, no, it's but other than that, if you're a bottom 10 team, stay the course.
Just keep doing what you're doing. It'll eventually randomly turn out for you. You wanted to talk about the player safety videos where I felt like they didn't really show me anything, but you have thoughts.
I mean, I feel like we should mention this only because we've kind of been saying they should do something like this. And when they do, I guess we should acknowledge it. But yeah, the Department of Player Safety put out on Friday, I guess, a video explaining
the difference
between some of the hits that they suspended for in the first round versus some of the ones they didn't. Like, for example, a lot of people, myself included, were trying to figure out why Drew Doughty got a game when, was it Ryan Johansson in the Nashville series?
Johansson hit Barry.
Yeah,
Vatanen that was it. Or Kucherov hit Vatanen, and the other one was obvious, the Ryan Hartman one. That was
So they did. They put like this 4 or 5 minute video together where they're like, broke each hit down, and they're like, here's what we saw, here's what was different from one to the other. And you know, I don't think anyone's going to watch that video and walk away going, okay, now I agree with everything the Department of Player Safety does. I think if you're a Kings fan, it's not like you're going to walk away going, okay, yeah, Drew Doughty deserved a game and I'm happy. But I think it does offer some clarity, and it does, you know, especially when people look at, you know, you hear this all the time on suspensions where people go, well, how come the exact same play gets treated differently? And I thought this was a good attempt to break down and say, this is why it's not the exact same play, and this is why we treat it differently. Even if, you know, I don't think anyone watches that video and then goes, okay, case closed. I completely get it. I think I'm a little closer to getting it.
I'll say my piece and then you can say whatever you want, and then we'll talk to the readers. But the thing with the Vatanen hit, or the thing with the hits in general, they seem to be really focused on how much the head snaps.
Yeah, very focused on.
And that's
and in what direction.
Right. And I understand the logic behind it, because if you get hit in the head really hard and you're not expecting it, your head's going to move. But, I mean, the head does not need to snap really hard for it to be the main point of contact. And with the Vatanen hit, I go back to the Vatanen hit where it's the exact same hit as Drew Doughty. You know, he's coming from the side, he catches some shoulder going through, and then Vatanen winds up with a concussion. And he ends up with a concussion with his head not really snapping. He ends up with a concussion with his head not bouncing off the ice. So where did the concussion come from? How did he get a concussion? I mean, is his shoulder completely hollow where it just all the force went through the shoulder and into his brain, but his head didn't move? So how did he get the concussion? Like, that's to me, like, if you're splitting hairs like that, you're just looking for ways to not suspend guys. The head can be like in boxing, like how many times do you see a guy get hit right on the button and he's out cold and his head really doesn't move all that much? Like, he gets hit unexpectedly and he goes down and he's got a brain injury because he got hit in the head. And that's what happened, I thought, to Vatanen. And also that same kind of hit happened in the Predators Avalanche last game. I think, I forget who it was, but like Subban got hit like that. And it was the same exact thing where, yeah, the guy goes through his shoulder, but clearly Subban got hit in the head. He's dazed. He's kind of slow to get up. He's fine, but you're never going to hear about that hit. Like, that hit will not be talked about for a suspension, even though it's the same as the other three. But that's the end of my rant. Yep.
No, I hear you. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the video, and you know, I hope they do more of them. I hope that this becomes a regular thing. I think the video helps us understand why certain hits are treated differently. I don't think it necessarily convinces us that they should be treated that way. But here's the other thing. Did you notice at the very end of the video, I thought this was kind of weird. They, like, there was this weird, like, addendum at the end where the guy goes, and by the way, remember that the Department of Player Safety can only make its decisions based on what the rule book says.
Yeah.
Which was like this kind of like, right. Hey, by the way, like,
I know,
seemed like a weird thing to add in there. Cause it, you know, kind of made me feel like that was them almost taking a little dig at the way the rules are written and basically saying, like, look, we don't necessarily think it's the rule is right, but we're just calling what they put in front of us. So
it probably was.
Yeah. Which just kind of,
which is fun.
Politically struck me as kind of an interesting thing to sneak in to the end of your, end of your video.
Nice. We got some time for a couple of the reader questions. I know you had one that was draft lottery related, and I know you love the draft lottery as a Leafs fan.
Well, there's a few, yeah. Like, people want to know, like, what's the, where's it? Oh, yeah. Reed Logan wants to know, what would be the funniest results of this Saturday's draft lottery. We'll get Dave's take on this, because my annual draft lottery power rankings piece is coming out. Well, it'll be out by the time you've read this on Sportsnet. So that's where I break down the conspiracy theories, the chaos theory, the funniest results. But what are you, as somebody who just wants to watch the world burn, what are you hoping happens on Saturday?
Well, there's a lot of ways to go. Usually it's just like LOL Edmonton, which I think is the way I want it to go. I want people, because like back when Edmonton was winning the lottery every year, it was like, they're going to screw it up. Who cares? And then they got McDavid, and then it was like, hang on, we should probably change the rules of the lottery so you can't win it every year. And now
they still didn't.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
And then if Edmonton wins this year, they'll change it. But by that point, Edmonton will be good, and it'll be some other team that gets screwed.
Edmonton's going to make people mad because now they're bad because Chiarelli screwed everything up, and now they're going to get gifted an elite defenseman based on the lottery.
Which is
no
the
one's
exact
want that.
Piece that they need.
Exactly.
Like, that is literally the last missing piece to turn them into a juggernaut, and it's going to fall into their laps. I feel like that's a good one. The one that I'm looking forward to, that I'm kind of hoping for, is for the Islanders to win the lottery with Calgary's pick.
Mm.
Because that's never happened. We've never seen a team win the lottery with someone else's pick. And it probably, like, this may be our last chance, because teams are protecting, everybody's protecting lottery protecting picks now. Even I remember, like, even the Jets did it when they traded for Stastny, even though they were like already 20 points clear of the playoffs, they still put lottery protection on that pick. So I think that's going to become pretty standard. So this is our one chance, even though it's only like, I think the Islanders odds are 2.5% for their own pick and 3.5% for Calgary. So it's pretty narrow. But here's my thing. Is, like, the NHL better split out Calgary and New York's, like, ping pong balls? They better not just combine it and give the Islanders like 6%. Because wouldn't that feel like an NHL thing to do, so that if the Islanders did win the lottery, the NHL wouldn't tell us whether it was their number or Calgary's, like, to save embarrassment or whatever?
No, they couldn't hide that, right? Because they have, like, the cards with the logos on them, so they'd have to, all
right,
yeah.
Right, so you have two cards that say Islanders on them.
But, like, wouldn't one say, like, via CGI or something?
It should, but would it? Like, doesn't this feel like a very NHL thing? Really, remember when they weren't going to put the protected lists out and everything, because it was just like, no, let's just,
oh, I forgot about
Islanders
that.
Get two cards and 6% chance, and we're just going to pretend like we don't know where one of them came from. I could totally see the NHL doing that.
I don't know. I think for bookkeeping purposes, they would have to let everybody know that. You're right, though. That does feel like a very NHL thing to hide that, so to avoid embarrassment for the GMs, because that is why the NHL exists, is to avoid embarrassment for general managers.
Exactly. That's all. Is I'm already preemptively angry about something the NHL might do, that won't even influence anything, because, again, there's a 94% chance this won't matter, but still. Mm. Still bothers me.
You got one more, and then we'll go about our weeks, and you can prepare for the inevitability of what's going to happen in Game 7.
Sure. What do you got, one or? I like this one here. I'll throw this one out there. Andrew K, who has a big Senators logo as his Twitter picture, so
that's our audience.
He's having a rough time. Exactly. If the playoffs went by NBA street rules. This is referring to the old video game, which was amazing.
I think I saw this question, yeah.
Yeah, the winning team claims a player from the team they just beat. Which winning team improved the most after round one?
Yeah, that was like a total thing growing up when you play street basketball. Like, if you lose and there's two guys who have necks, they pick up three dudes, and you're like, oh, take me. So who would...
Which team, which of the seven teams that's through improved the most?
But they can only take one guy.
You get one guy. Like, I feel like my instinct is to say Nashville getting McKinnon.
Yeah, so Nashville would get McKinnon. Tampa would get
Nashville
Hall.
Gets McKinnon. But then, the Knights would get who? Doughty? Probably take Doughty.
Take Doughty for sure. The Caps,
they need a
defenseman. Caps would take.
San Jose would pass. Caps probably take. Do you take Bobrovsky and just throw him into your goaltending mix? No. He wasn't all that good either, but Seth Jones maybe.
That's what they would do. They would take Jones or Werenski.
Pittsburgh takes Claude Giroux and forces him, probably benches him just to infuriate Flyer fans. And Tampa hits Taylor Hall and puts him on the fourth line, and Taylor Hall is confused and doesn't know what to do when there's other good hockey players around him.
Boy, that was the one series I called perfectly. Taylor Hall just carries him the one game, does everything for them, and they lose in five. There's no getting around that one. It's a good question. I like it. Well, it's that time where we have to say goodbye, where we have to depart for a week, which is good though. I like how this worked out, where we can stick to Tuesdays, because Tuesday this week ended up being perfect. So now next week we can come back on the regular day. No need to wait around an extra day and search for us. We've sold our content online already during the podcast. I have touted the Capitals on Vice Sports, and you are going to do your drafting on Sportsnet. And
That's good. We went a little long today, but I think it was worth it. We had a ton to cover, but I think we got to all of it. I'm looking down my list, and yeah, we got to all the important stuff.
We hit everything. So thanks for reading. We'll come back next week, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.